You're listening to the Prepper Recon Podcast. For questions, comments, and podcast archives, go to PrepperRecon.com. I've personally been buying gold and silver from JM Bullion for over 2 years. They offer the best prices over spot that I can find, and I've never had a problem with an order. If you're looking to trade in some of your fiat paper for real money, check out JMBullion.com today. Hey, Preppers and Patriots. This is the second half of my interview with Ken and Jen Ellswick of PioneerPreparedness.com. Enjoy the show. We mentioned at the beginning of the show a little bit the federal judge that's put the kibosh on Trump's ban for refugees and immigrants from countries that are terrorist hotbeds. And the reasoning for ending the ban was that it was unconstitutional. And I've pored over the Constitution and I can't find any protection for citizens of terrorist countries or countries where it's a terrorist hotbed under our Constitution. So I just can't get my head around this. Can you guys maybe help enlighten me a little bit on that?
Well, yeah, judicial activism is still alive and well, unfortunately. And you're absolutely right. And I'm glad that you posed the question the way that you did, because it's not a Muslim ban. It's a temporary moratorium on citizens from certain countries that have terrorist ties. There's no religious test. It's not if you're Muslim, you can't come. If you're Christian, you can. And the fact that a judge would take it upon themselves to judge what should or shouldn't happen with a presidential order is really not unusual, just because it's been happening for years and years and years. But it's definitely something that hopefully will be addressed coming up, because judicial activism is not protecting anybody, and one person can overrule the will of, as we've seen, of a majority of people or a president, based on really nothing more than their feelings. And you're right. Nobody from a foreign country has any right to due process or constitutional protections. You're not a citizen of the country. If that were the case, I could say that I'm in Bangladesh, and if you don't allow me to come into your country, you're violating my rights, and I could sue because I can't get a visa or you won't let me in. And there's a good reason that people, in foreign countries don't have those protections, because we'd be inundated in our court systems.
Absolutely. And if I may also add, Mark, Ken and I were talking about the other day, and people are all up in arms that, you know, Trump is racist and he's not letting any Muslims in. When you look at it, I think there's 48 Muslim countries, and I think there's only 7 or 8 that are being banned or putting a hold on. You know, it's not truly this racist thing. He is truly trying to protect this country. And when you look at my family, 3 generations, my family came over here from Czechoslovakia. Well, you know what? They went through Ellis Island. They went through the right protocols to come into this country legally, not illegally. And look at Trump's wife, Melania. She did all this legally. You know what? Yes, this is a melting pot of a country. And there's all sorts of things that we want to embrace and love. But do not sneak across our borders. That is the first criminal act that you are committing by not coming through here. There's channels and there's ways to do this to where we can protect our people and our country and not have to worry about it.
Yeah, and we are a melting pot. But I think that there's some cultures, and I think that the Muslim culture, because it's beyond just a religion, it's a political system, and it's a control system. It's a system of abuse against women. It's difficult to say radical Islam versus not non-radical Muslims, because anytime you look at a country, the higher the percentage of Muslims in that country, the less the freedoms are for the people of that country. The higher the number of the percentage of Muslims in their population, the less likely it is that women can vote, or women can drive cars, or women are allowed to leave home without a male escort. All these types of things, and also the higher the population of Muslims in a country, the less likely Christians are allowed to proselytize or own a Bible or have a church meeting or even say that they're Christian, or is a Muslim allowed to convert over to Christianity. So, you know, whereas we're very welcoming to so many other cultures, but most other cultures don't represent that type of threat to our very lifestyle. And I'm not sure, Americanism is compatible with Islam. What are you guys' thoughts on that?
I say absolutely not. And I'm not trying to say, hey, this is America. No, that is not what this country was founded on. This was people coming over because they were underground churches. They couldn't express their Christianity. They couldn't do the things they wanted to do. They were trying to flee the king, and they come here, and we have developed our own way, our own constitution. I'm sorry, Sharia law has absolutely no place in the U.S. with our constitution and the way this country is supposed to be.
But in places like Dearborn, Michigan, where you know, a large percentage of the population is now Muslim. Of course, they're getting political positions there in surrounding towns where there's now a Muslim mayor, and of course we're going to see Muslim judges and we're going to see Muslim prosecutors. So, isn't it possible that Sharia law is going to work its way into those American courtrooms?
Well, that's always the possibility. And yeah, there are enclaves, and if people want to know what might happen here, I mean, you can look to Europe. There are no-go zones, where if you're not Muslim, you're not going to go in there. And they do have Sharia courts and Sharia law. And unfortunately, where we see Christianity as kind of a benign, existence. I mean, we try to share the gospel and bring people into the fold. It's never by force. The Muslim population in Europe has kind of shown a blueprint of what they're doing. It's turning into more of a takeover than a, as you said before, melting pot. It's not really a melting pot. It's more still staying separate from the group. And starting your own communities like Dearborn, where maybe the American way is not embraced as much as in the rest of the country, and if that spreads, that could be a problem. I have no problem with Muslims. I know that most listeners wouldn't, but again, I assume that they're going to live their life and leave me to live mine, and not try to change our the way of life that we have here.
You guys have done some disaster response work as well, right? You were you deployed to South Florida after Hurricane Andrew. Is that correct?
Actually, most of our stuff that we've done, Mark, has been all food drive and good drive based. When Kent and I, and this is something else, ladies and gentlemen, that we always have to look out for is our personal emergencies. Kent and I were both laid off within 6 to 8 weeks of each other in 2011. And during that time, we actually did a lot of the trainings and whatnot with our local MRMRC, the Mountain Regional Medical Response Corps, and SMAT, the State Medical Assistant Team, to where we can go out and deploy. And we do hope at some point to be able to be boots on the ground to help those things. But honestly, what we have done in the past has basically just been good driven and food driven to get things out to people, to help assist them. And this is something that we've learned. In fact, our first food drive with Hurricane Andrew back in 92 was when this happened. It's one of those things that you're watching on TV and your heart just kind of cries out and you got to do something. Well, this was all around the same time when they were showing all of the fraud in some of these nonprofits and how the money was going to the bigwigs and in their jets and their Mercedes and everything else. And I contacted several nonprofits, several very popular nonprofits that I'm sure a lot of people donate a lot of money to. And I told them what I wanted to do. And all they wanted was money. I said, I'm going to be collecting in front of Publix, and I'm going to have food. I'm going to have flashlights, diapers. They didn't want it. They wanted money. And at that point, I decided, this was 22 years ago, 23 years ago, that's not what we're here for. This is not what we're doing. I don't want that money to show up in somebody's salary or tent or, you know, a new Mercedes. I want this to go to the people. And so we literally, with some of Ken's resources and network, we filled 7 emergency vehicles and they drove it down to South Florida. And so that's basically been our big doing in that.
We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. Katie Armor offers affordable body armor, including level 3 trauma plates made of AR-500 steel. They can endure multiple rounds from pistols and rifles up to 7.62 NATO. Order today from katiearmor.com. That's CATIarmor.com. Ready Made Resources is a trusted name in the prepper community because they've been around for 18 years. They offer great prices on night vision, water filtration, long-term storage food, solar energy components, and provide free technical service. Get ready for an uncertain future at readymaderesources.com.
After a massive wave of disappearances, 26-year-old CIA analyst Everett Carroll finally believes what he's been told about the biblical prophecy of the rapture. Global currencies have collapsed, famine and plague have claimed the lives of millions, and the world has crumbled into chaos. 7 seals, 7 trumpets, and 7 vials of God's wrath are about to be poured out upon the earth, and woe to the inhabitants thereof. Buy your copy of The Days of Elijah, Book 1, Apocalypse, by best-selling author Mark Goodwin, in paperback or Kindle edition from Amazon.com today.
Back to food storage. We pressure can quite a bit of meat. We pressure can chicken, and we'll make meatballs and pressure can those with like a little tomato sauce, so it's kind of like a ready-to-go spaghetti and meatballs. We don't put the spaghetti in there, of course. That would probably be just mush right after you pressure can spaghetti, I would imagine. It would, wouldn't be much of anything left. We also do pork. We'll take pork loin and cube it up and maybe do like a mojo seasoning in there. And,
nice.
And it's good with beans and rice, which is, I assume most preppers are stockpiling some beans and rice, and then it's also good for barbecue. You put a little barbecue sauce on it, and so it makes a good barbecue as well. Do you guys do any pressure canning for meat?
We absolutely do. In fact, it's nothing for us to get 40 or 60 pounds of chicken, and that's another resource I have to throw out is Zacon, which drops all over the country, and they have good quality meat at a very affordable price. And we will get the beef, we will get the chicken. I know they also have bacon, which, hey, who doesn't love bacon? And you can buy all these things, and you can, and you can freeze, and you can do all sorts of stuff. And when I talk about freezing, not freeze drying, but just freezing for our everyday meals. But, yeah, we love to can, and it's funny because I really try to expand our experience every year and do a little bit more and a little bit different. So I'm not just canning the same thing. So, you know, we've got, you know, probably 80 pounds of chicken that we've canned down in the basement. I tried doing dilly beans and different things this year and just trying to experiment and spice it up a little bit, again, to help keep us from getting to that food fatigue.
Right. Yeah. We love Zycon. We got their shrimp, and man, it was so good. The big jumbo pink shrimp, and they're already peeled and deveined and, so good. It's almost tastes like lobster. It's the big pink shrimp.
Oh.
And, now you said, talk to us a little bit about, how the Thrive meats compare to the meat that you can yourself.
You'll find that they are smaller pieces, of course, depending on what chunks that you, chop your meat up into. But what I find with the Thrive is they are good bite-sized pieces, and depending on what you want to do with them, they've got different things like the chopped chicken. I'll make chicken salad out of. We'll do quesadillas. Basically, anything somebody might take a hamburger helper type of package or recipe to throw meat in, that's what we'll throw a lot of our chopped chicken or our ground beef in. We'll do nachos with the ground beef. quick spaghetti. But then they've also got other things like the roast beef slices, which there's all sorts of different recipes that we can make with that. The chopped chicken slices, the seasoned chicken slices, those are pieces more about the size of your thumb. And so there's different things that you can do with that. I mean, we literally have never tried anything from Thrive that we haven't absolutely loved. And we have tried probably 75% of the entire line.
And what food items do you guys store just straight off the grocery shelf? Do you still stockpile a lot of rice and beans?
Well, we did. And there again, going back to the couponing thing, oh my gosh, I think I've got enough pasta for 20 years, Mark. And again, before the couponing came, we started out with the LDS pantry back when you could go to the cannery and purchase in bulk. I think everybody knows now at this point, most of the canneries have been shut down for that because of the FDA regulations coming through. And I think they were having to spend like $150,000 per kitchen in order to bring those up to the FDA regulations. And it was heartbreaking because this is something that that church had done for decades to help their community. And this is something that they teach and preach and actually mandate within their religion. And so from a lot of stuff that we had gotten from the LDS pantry and then couponing brought in a huge another resource. I mean, we literally save 75% when we grocery shop. And so I have probably about 3 years worth of spaghetti sauces and pasta. And people have to keep in mind and – first off, use your God-given senses. When you have something that you're working with that is expired, you know, look at it. Is the can bulging? Is it dented? Open it. Does it smell funny? Taste a little bit. If you don't die, it'll be okay. And so keep in mind as you're looking at this stuff, we have stuff that expired 4 or 5 years ago from couponing. It'll be perfectly fine. In fact, some of the sauce we opened yesterday for something, some barbecue sauce, I think it expired 3 years ago and we ate it and we're fine. We're here to talk about it. So, you know, use your mind, be creative, learn how to save money at doing these things. And I love to help people coupon. And there's some basic websites that I can show people that they can do this stuff. And I make absolutely nothing on this. This is all just strictly sharing and trying to help people get prepared. And I guess the one thing I truly love about the food storage aspect is everybody's got to eat. And so this is a way to bring people in and they don't even know it. And so when they hear the word prepper or, you know, well, we're stocking up or got our food storage, they'll look at you like you've got three eyes. And right there, you know, to back off. And so I can get spouses on board with couponing to save money because they want to take a cruise instead of, you know, having to spend all this money. There's all sorts of different ways where you can start to bring people in and they're prepping and they don't even realize it.
You mentioned that you've stockpiled a lot of pasta. One of the problems we've had in the past when in our early prepping days is that we learned that pastas, if you don't do something with it besides the little cardboard box, you're probably going to get weevils eventually. What do you do to protect your pasta and rice and beans from the critters?
Well, one thing that we have found that we've done a lot with ours, Mark, is the Mylar bags and doing the we actually use a clothes iron. That's something else. I'm sorry, I got to throw these things out here as I think about it. Don't ever go out and buy that $300 to $400 Mylar sealing bag. You can use a clothes iron, and we'll use the Mylar bags with a couple O2 or oxygen absorbers with the clothes iron, and that sucks it down. Something else that people have to keep in mind when they're using Mylar bags is there's different mills of Mylar bags. And so when you're using something, for something pokey, as I call it, be it your pasta, your banana chips, your carrot dices, whenever you have something that has sharp edges, you're going to want to go to like a 5 to 7 mil Mylar bag, and that'll protect it. It's a heavier mil of Mylar. When you're doing something round, even like beans or rice or anything like that, it's okay to use the thinner 3.5 mil. But these are all things that people need to consider as they're doing things so they don't get disappointed. But that and the Mylar bag and the diatomaceous earth is how we've done a lot of ours.
And you mentioned that you were active with Girl Scouts for a while. And of course, recently the Boy Scouts of America have just announced that they're now accepting transgender, mm-hmm.
boys, which means girls that dress and act as boys are now allowed into the Boy Scouts. And I think that a lot of people are probably going to start pulling back from Boy Scouts now because of this. Of course, you know, they've allowed homosexuality in the members and in the leaders in Boy Scouts now for several years. And what I worry about is that, you know, I was in Scouts as a kid, and it was so important. It was one of the few outlets I had that to get me out and get me outdoors and get me camping and, you know, to kind of kickstart the whole preparedness mindset. And I'm afraid that folks will draw back from Boy Scouts, and maybe there's some things in Girl Scouts that might make them want to draw back from that as well. But I think that it's important for folks to reach out and find other alternatives. There's other things that are often in different church groups, or if there's nothing in your church group, in your church that's an alternative to Boy Scouts or Girl Scouts, you know, maybe if you've got some experience in scouting, maybe you can be the person to go to church leadership and say, hey, I'd like to start a program to get kids outside. What do you think about that?
Absolutely. In fact, I think there's something through some of the homeschool network called American Heritage or American something. It's basically a spinoff of the Scouts. And honestly, we stepped away from Girl Scouts several years ago with seeing how things were going and how things were changing. And ultimately, when I started it, it was because I'd been a Girl Scout as a youngster, loved it, didn't really do a lot with it. But I knew that that was my way to help make a difference in some of these young people's lives. And sometimes that's the only positive interaction that these kids get. And so I had done that for probably close to 11 years with my daughter or with our daughter. And when I started seeing the direction that some of this was going, it was not for Ken and I. And it was something that we couldn't support again. This was something that they were bringing the Planned Parenthood into, all sorts of things that just are totally against everything that we believe in. And yes, you're absolutely right, Mark. Kids have got to get a founding for things, because you can't think you just open your refrigerator and boom, there's the food. You know, they have to understand what they have to do to these things, basic life skills. And, you know, this being through everything, Ken and I have joked for over 20 years. He's always said he's preparing for when the zombies come, because zombies can be any aspect of any emergency, be it personal or man-made or natural disaster that comes along. And people have got to learn that you can't just sit on the couch and play Nintendo or Pokemon Go or whatever. And there's more to life, and you've got to hone these skills. There are so many that we're losing. And these things, once they're lost, they're gone. And these are things that have built mankind to be great.
Ken, Jen, you guys have given us some really great stuff to think about. Thanks so much for making time to speak with us today. Can you just tell the folks one more time where they can go to find your work and how they can order Thrive products through pioneerpreparedness.com?
Absolutely. Yes, there's pioneerpreparedness.com. You can also always email me. It's thrivewnc, like we're not crazy, @gmail.com. And you can also check out the Thrive website, thrivewnc.thrivelife.com. But again, that's off of pioneerpreparedness.com. And yeah, I love to help all aspects no matter what. So the easiest way is the email, thrivewnc@gmail.com.
Guys, thanks again for making time for us.
Thank you so much,
Mark. Thank you, Mark.
Get prepared before disaster strikes. PrepperRecon.com offers Molly-compatible individual first aid kits for your home, auto, or bug-out bag. These kits have everything you need to address a traumatic injury, including an Israeli battle dressing, quick clot, EMT shears, suture kit, Steri-Strips, tourniquet, tough strip bandages, and so much more. Kits are available in OD Green, Coyote, Black, and ACU. $99 includes shipping. Go to PrepperRecon.com and click the store tab at the top of the homepage. Order today before it's too late.